Well, if you would, go ahead and turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 16. I know this is a familiar passage, but there's something there that I want to focus on tonight. And I've always found it puzzling. I've been in quite a few prisons. I've always gotten out when I wanted to go. That was always a good thing. But it's a rare thing when the prisoners can go and they don't. Now, I used to work around the juveniles, and some of the juveniles would actually, and their situation at home was so bad that they would actually reoffend to keep from going home. And I just can't imagine that. I mean, most of us have had such a good home life that we didn't end up in prison, for one thing. And second of all, if we got a chance to get out of prison and go home, we'd jump at the chance. But these kids, they didn't have that. A lot of them didn't. But I want to focus on something, and let's stand in honor of the Word of God. I want to read just a few verses. You know, probably know the story about Paul and Silas being thrown in jail. And we're going to start with verse 25. And I'm not really going to go into what the jailer, the conversation with the jailer as much, but there's something else I want to bring out. Verse 25 and following in Acts 16. And it says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm. We are all here. And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas." And you know the story, verse 30 and 31. It says, "And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. What a blessing it is to know that somebody told it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born, and that I heard, and so many others, and everybody here tonight has heard. And Lord, we put our trust in you. And Lord, it was because somebody else told it. And Lord, I just ask you to move in a special way. We thank you for giving us an opportunity to know the truth. But along with that comes the responsibility to share the truth. And Lord, help us to be that kind of Christian, one that doesn't hide it under a bushel basket, but shouts it on the housetop. Use this message tonight, Lord, to keep the preacher out of your way. Lord, let your Holy Spirit be the preacher tonight. For it's in that holy name, that mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I've entitled the message tonight, "Why Did the Prisoners Stay?" It's interesting that the jail doors flew open. But the interesting thing is that their shackles, their handcuffs or bonds, if they were in stocks or whatever it was, the Bible says their bonds were loosed. So there was nothing there to keep them from running out of the prison. And yet, the Bible says that when Paul came to the jailer and spoke to the jailer, he says, we are all here. Not a one of the prisoners had left. Not a one. And it's always intrigued me about that. But the interest, and you and I, we know the nature of man. We know that what happens is if we can get away without being punished, typically we will. The flesh is wanting to get out of that. But every one of these prisoners are still here. Now, why would they still be here? Well, I've got 6 points here that I want to focus on. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on them, but I want us to sit up and take notice. Number one, the saints' prayers. I want you to get this in the fact that they were listening to Paul and Silas praying. They were listening to them in jail. Why would you, and by the way, they weren't singing the blues. Okay? They were singing and praying, and what we need to realize is that they were not upset. You know, one of the things that we need to realize is that there are times that you and I are going to be punished. Things are going to go against us because we're Christians. Okay? We need to recognize that. We need to accept it and not get upset because, hey, there's a reward coming. And the reward is on the other side. It's not on this side. Jesus says, I come to bring life and that more abundant. That abundant life is here. There's a lot of blessings that you and I get on this side that we don't even recognize. There are times when you don't have an accident because the Lord's protected you. There's a time when you might get sick and you don't die or... I mean, it's just amazing how the Lord provides. When things are going, when you're doing things His way, you might not see it, but He is always going to reward. And what we need to do is make sure we thank Him. I don't know why, but the Apostle Paul he spent a lot of time in jail. We know that it was because he was preaching, but I don't know why he could, how he could be so happy. I've mentioned this before from time to time. The book of Philippians writes about peace and joy and contentment, and it was written from prison while Paul was in prison. But their prayers, they weren't praying like a lot of Christians do when they like Elijah when he was under the juniper tree. Oh God, I want to die. Hey, guess what? That's not the way they were praying. No. That's probably the way the other prisoners were praying. But that's not the way these guys, Paul and Silas, were praying. Not only was it the saints' prayers, but they were singing praise. Singing praise? You're going to praise your God because you're in jail? Really? You're going to praise your God because you're going through a crisis? Because they put off your court date again? And you're still going to praise God? I got news for you. Paul and Silas were praising God because they were in jail. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, God's ways are not our ways, right? And so what's going on is the fact that they're singing because they're happy because people set up and took notice of the fact that they belong to Jesus. Amen. And when people notice that you belong to Jesus, they're either going to love you or they're going to hate you. Not too many in between. But the third point that I want to bring out is the Savior proclaimed. Not only was it the saints' prayers, not only was it they were singing praise, but the Savior was proclaimed. And when you lift up Jesus, these prisoners that were in the jail with them, one of the things that they noticed is, I've never heard of this guy. This God that they're talking about, there's something about him that makes people in tough situations happy. Makes people in tough situations satisfied. Can you imagine Paul and Silas talking about, Lord, we thank you. I don't understand why we're here, because we could be starting a church somewhere. By the way, they did start a church in Philippi. And may have just started with the jailer and his family. But the truth is, can you imagine what they were saying about Jesus in the jail to these prisoners that had never heard the name of Jesus before? They were probably saying, Lord, we know that we see you have done something marvelous in our lives. We know that you died on the cross for our sins. We know that we're going to heaven when we die. We know that you rose from the dead. And boy, I'm sure their ears perked up when they heard that Jesus rose from the dead. What kind of new religion is this? Just kind of like what Paul was going to face in the next chapter on Mars Hill. But not only that, but you got the saints prayed. You've got them singing praise. You've got the Savior proclaimed, but you've got the scriptures preached. I want you to know, let's go to Matthew chapter 22. And I'm going to go through these kind of quick. But I want you to understand, there are people around us that need to know our Jesus.
That's right.
There are people around us that need you and I, no matter how bad the world gets, no matter how tough circumstances in our lives come against us, they need to know that there's hope. They need to know that we're happy. How can you be happy? Not only do they have this coronavirus, and now they've got all the lockdowns, and now they've got the vaccines, and now they've got the Delta variant, now they've got that Omicron variant. Yeah, it's a con. Every step of the way, it's a con. And they're saying, you're still happy. How can you be happy? Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Hey, that's what it's all about. We're not going through these situations by ourselves. The Lord's got us in His hand, right? If you're saved, you're in the hollow of His hand. What can the devil do to you or me without the Lord's permission? Not a single thing. Not a thing. And they'd never heard the scriptures preached. By the way, look at verse 20, chapter 22 of Matthew, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. You know why I preach the Bible? You know why you need to stand on the promises? Because the power is in the book.
Amen.
It's in the book. It's not in the preacher.
Amen.
It's not in anything else. It's not in this building. It's in the book.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit of God uses the Word of God and changes a child of the devil to a child of God. And so what happened was they had never heard the scriptures before like Paul and Silas preached them. One more thing, and I've got a couple more points. Not only was it the saints' prayers, not only was it the singing praise, not only was it the Savior proclaimed and the scriptures preached, but the Spirit's power. The Holy Spirit has power, and it's amazing. And these guys had never experienced any of this before. These prisoners were there, and they were intrigued by everything that Paul and Silas were doing. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit gets hold of them and say, I want what he's got. Yes. And I can just about guarantee that when the jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? The jailer wasn't the only one that got saved. Because there were a lot of people sitting there listening. Because they hadn't left. They were still in the jail. And point number 6. Salvation's plan. They heard salvation's plan. And I want you to understand that there are things in this world, there are people around us. When we put those goodie bags together, when we pass out tracts, when we go places and let people know, hey, you can trust Jesus. Some of them have heard it before, but they may never have seen anybody do it before. And they need to see you and I walking with the Lord, trusting Him, no matter what happens, no matter what comes our way. I know that the world is full of trouble and heartaches and headaches and pains. And that's just in Washington. But anyway, yeah. The truth is, they need to know that we've got hope that they can have. We've got eternal hope in Jesus. They don't have to worry about the struggles and the battles and the issues of this world. They can lay them in the lap of the Lord, and He'll take care of them. And that's one of the scenes I want to see in heaven, is I want to see the earthquake. I want to see just what Paul and Silas were singing. I want to see the earthquake shake open the jails, cells, and the shackles fall off, and the jail still remain full. Not a single prisoner. Some of these were probably murderers, gonna lose their life. But guess what? They had a life to gain. Yep. Because they were talking about eternal life. Hey, if you're on death row, guess what? You need some hope. You need some encouragement. You need to know there's something to look forward to after death. And I'm glad that my great God provides it all. And it's all wrapped up in Jesus. It's all wrapped up in Jesus. Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Amen. Nothing you face. I know we all struggle. Sharon and I have been struggling now about 3 weeks. But the Lord has really showed up. And there has been some adjustments. And it hadn't all been on us. So, and there's been some appreciation in the process too. And I want you to get this, no matter how heavy the load is, no matter how tough a struggle you're going through. Number one, you can trust Jesus. Number two, those around us need Jesus. And number three, the best is yet to come. Amen. The best is yet to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. What a blessing it is to know that there's a great God in heaven that loves us and cares for us and takes care of us. And Lord, this world is so full of skeptics and soothsayers and so many that don't like you, don't believe in you, but Lord, there are those around us that need to know they can count on you. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Use the invitation to make us more like Jesus, no matter what we're going through. Lord, help us never to stop singing your praise, because you're worthy. For it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Turn in our hymnal to 164.